This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Thursday. Pickens County's Planning and Zoning Commission is signaling it will reject plans to expand the Phillips Mobile Home Park in Woody Creek. Commissioners said on Tuesday the proposal, which would add about 40 new units to the existing neighborhood, conflicts with the Woody Creek Master Plan. That's because the Woody Creek Master Plan limits high-density growth in rural areas. The county's plan includes roughly $15 million in upgrades, from roads and utilities to mudslide mitigation, and would bring total units to around 75. But commissioners raised concerns about density, wildlife impacts, and the potential for future expansion. Some also questioned the site itself, citing floodplain risks and geological hazards. A final vote is expected May 5th, after staff drafts a formal denial resolution. This year's Earth Day comes after one of the worst snow years in decades, and before what's anticipated to be a very dry summer in the Roaring Fork Valley. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz spoke to Sunfire Ranch at Basalt's Earth Day celebration yesterday to see how they're preparing.
Sunfire Ranch owner Jameson Leo brought plant starters, fresh eggs, and bundles of garlic to sell at her booth yesterday. But she's worried some of her other crops won't hold up in the dry weather. The ranch runs on an irrigation ditch system that's heavily dependent on snowmelt and precipitation.
We are anticipating that maybe for the first time ever, we will lose our ditches before the end of the season. But we're preparing to have to pivot, and that pivot could look like a shorter season. It could look like transitioning some of our crops to just seed crop, because that doesn't take as much water.
The ranch was also the site of one of the region's first wildfires of the year. Last month, dry grass around a controlled burn went up in flames by an unexpected breeze.
The wind shifted, and in 3 seconds, the fire was on us. Seeing in real time how the wind affects it, how fast fire moves in grass, you know, it's just like, whoa.
The fire was quickly contained, but staff have since placed fire hoses around the ranch as a precaution. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
A Western Slope sheriff's office used an AI-generated photo to try to find a missing person this week. As Aspen Public Radio's Hallie Zander reports, a CU Boulder professor says it raises questions about how law enforcement across the state should engage with the technology.
The Chaffee County Sheriff's Office posted the image to Facebook on Monday after searching for Caden Seitz for 5 days. The image depicted Seitz in what investigators believe he was wearing when he disappeared while hunting. Sandra Rostovska is the founding director of CU Boulder's Visual Evidence Lab.
While this might seem a very small, insignificant example, it does help normalize, naturalize this technology.
She doesn't see ethical issues in this specific case and compares it to police sketches, but warns law enforcement about the widespread use of generative AI. She worries the technology could make it easier to doctor evidence. Denver 7 reported Wednesday that the Chaffee County Sheriff's Office is also using AI software to write police reports from body camera footage. The town of Carbondale signed off on its police department using similar technology last month. Hallie Zander, Aspen Public Radio News.
The Chaffee County Sheriff was not available for comment yesterday. In statewide news, a proposed ban on a popular type of sports wager in Colorado is dead. CPR's Ben Marcus reports.
For the first time, lawmakers are trying to put guardrails on sports gambling, and they're running into budget concerns. Senate Bill 131 proposed eliminating prop bets. These are wagers on things like how many points or rebounds a player will score in a game. Prop bets have become a centerpiece of sports gambling and an important part of state revenue. Lawmakers voted on Tuesday morning to keep prop bets and the money they generate. The bill would still ban credit card-financed bets and limit advertising and push notifications. I'm Ben Marcus, CPR News.
Colorado should get used to the idea of large AI data centers. That's according to a retired four-star general during a recent panel discussion in Colorado Springs. CPR's Dan Boyce says the reason is the state's Space Force bases.
The amount of satellite data coursing through Colorado's 3 Space Force bases is already gargantuan. Retired Vice Chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General John Hyten, says AI tools will increasingly be needed to parse all that information. So Hyten says the military needs to build data centers on Buckley in Aurora, Peterson and Schriever in Colorado Springs.
We're going to because we have to in order to do the mission.
His statement comes amidst public backlash over data centers in Colorado due to how much water and electricity they use. among other factors. In Colorado Springs, Dan Boyce, CPR News.
Colorado lawmakers are considering a bill that would scale back the Front Range passenger rail district. KUNC's Michael McKinnon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
The measure would change the district's boundaries, narrowing it to the cities where more residents live near planned train stations. That means some communities would be cut out from the district, including Greeley, Castle Rock, Lone Tree, Monument, and most unincorporated areas. State Senator Kathy Kipp is one of the bill's sponsors. She says the goal is to ensure the cities that will benefit most from the rail system are the ones helping fund it.
It seems like the people who are going to have better access to the rail and to the stations should be the communities that are helping to pay for it.
The rail district is set to ask voters in November for a sales tax increase to pay for the train, which was recently named the Colorado Connector, or COCO.
That was Kyle McKinnon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And in regional news, in a hearing before the House Appropriations Committee on Monday, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum defended the department's policy of secretary-level reviews for solar and wind projects on public land. Environmentalists say it's another way that the Trump administration is propping up the fossil fuels agenda. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis has more.
California Democrat Josh Harder questioned why wind and solar projects on BLM land need to get approval from Burgum himself, but oil and gas do not. Burgum did not answer questions about the policy, instead saying that wind and solar were unreliable.
Then when the sun goes down, the wind's not blowing, there's no electrons going down those transmission lines. The cost of all of that is borne by the person paying for the electric bill.
He said solar and wind were not viable without subsidies to prop them up, though he did not mention subsidies for the fossil fuel industry, nor that solar and wind are often cheaper. Harder said that if Burgum truly believed that, there would be a permitting process that puts all kinds of energy on a level playing field.
What I see now is secretary-level approval required for one type of project, but not for another. And again, I don't think that's sustainable or good policy.
The president's proposed budget makes, quote, ending the Green New scam a priority, clawing back millions of dollars for renewable energy projects. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.